And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
This is Stan Weisleder on The View from Over Here, and we are broadcasting from downtown glamorous Burbank at the Mark Grau Studios. On my left is Malcolm Berman, our producer, and on my right are two people that have been on the show before. It's Jeff and Jerry Cutler. Oh, what happened to the screen?
It's back again. Don't worry
all
about
right.
it.
All right, okay. With the screen.
This is like radio with pictures. It's amazing, you know, the new technology.
Oh, yeah, and it keeps changing. Yeah, it's wonderful.
I don't know what the hell to call it. You know, it's Malcolm Digital Radio, but it's really not radio per se.
All right, let's give a quick announcement for anybody who is watching or will be watching. If you want to see this show, you just get on your computer, your computer, and you just look for Malcolm Digital Radio.
.com.
.com. You always got to do a .com. And they should know that, right? No, always .com. It could be
.net,
.org.
.org.
Could be .us like I have on mine. Anyway, I just wanted to add.
You guys are such computer mavens.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, right.
You.
If we need anything complicated, we ask our grandkids.
Right.
Or
my son. I have an open call to my son at the UCSB.
For whenever you need him.
Okay. What do I know? What do I do now, Jonathan? I finally learned how to scan.
Anyway, our two guests to my right, they've been with us before. And
I'm not going to say
anything other than they are good guests and they'll be very interesting and lively. And who knows, Jerry, you know, he used to be a comedian before he became a rabbi. Can you believe that?
I became a funny rabbi.
Yes, definitely. And I can attest to that because I've gone to a number of his, I was going to say presentations. I guess I should say sermons.
Services.
Or shows. Services / show.
So our big question for you guys, because we know that you usually, if not all the time, but at least a good number of the times, you go to the Academy Awards, the presentations. And there's been a lot of hullabaloo this year about black exclusions, racism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you guys think based on your going there in the past and what's happening? What's happening in Hollywood?
I think it's a lot to do about nothing. The black community, black show business community certainly showed up in force at the Academy, and they didn't think anything of it. It's been blown out of proportion, like most things that come out
of
Hollywood.
So it's a media thing?
Well, can I just jump in on
you
this?
Can jump in.
You can jump in whenever you want.
You're his wife. You can disagree with him as much as you want, as you may believe you're at the dinner table.
First of all, I must say this, that I believe that the award, the Oscar, is given out for excellence or outstanding performance in one way or the other. I think this all started with Will Smith, Concussion. I know we didn't get any screens. We get screeners at the time for voting for the Oscars. We never got a screen. I asked around if anyone else got a screener because I didn't get to see the film. We didn't go to a screening. And Will Smith, I've heard this is some of his best work. Does it stand up to the type of work that the other men were up for Best Actor? I don't know. So it was Jada Pinkett Smith who said, I will not be attending the Oscars.
She started it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She's standing by her husband like you do, honey.
That's right.
She won't come to my service if someone puts me down. She said, that's it.
I just don't want to hear it anymore.
Anymore. You've heard enough.
God knows she has, yes.
Fresh Out of Compton? What was it? Out of Compton.
Yeah.
Fresh Out of Compton. Did you guys see it?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it good or is it just so-so?
It's good.
It's good.
Oh, it's good. Good.
There was a so-called black movie made a number of years ago, I'd say about 30 years ago. I thought it was incredible, and it never got any notice that I recall.
What was that?
It was about these black guys. They live in Harlem, and they teach tap dancing. So who was in it? Sammy Davis Jr., Gregory Hines, okay, two dancers right there, and other supporting actors, actresses. I don't remember their names, but they couldn't decide whether they should stick with tap dancing lessons, and white people would come to their studios to get these lessons, or go into robbing local stores.
Uh-huh.
I thought the movie was great. But that was 30 years ago.
But you also have to count on a black presence at the theaters. 30 years ago, they just didn't go to the movies. Today, it's a great amount of they gear films to the black audience.
But I think a problem is. I think it was Chris Rock did during the show where he interviewed people in South L.A. to black folks which movies they saw, and they didn't see any of the movies that were nominated.
Well, they did see Out of Compton.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that wasn't nominated.
That's the one.
And maybe Creed was the only
other
movie.
No, it was up Out of Compton. What
for the best
was it
movie?
For what?
I'll tell you in
a
minute.
I don't know. But I think a problem is, same way as when I look at the music now, the Music Awards or Grammys, as an older white folk, I don't relate to some of the music being played right now, even though it's very popular. I think problem with the Academy Awards is that the voting members, I think, were mainly, I think it was like 80% white. And I think over 60.
Yes, absolutely.
So if there were movies with a theme that they didn't agree with or they were unaware of, they didn't really know. I mean, it's hard to look at a movie that you find boring or you don't relate to as far as acting, even as far as acting goes or writing.
You mentioned the,
and I think that's a problem.
You mentioned the Grammys. We used to go every year like clockwork, and then the music like around, towards the late 80s, early 90s, it was all rap music. In other words, it wasn't music anymore. It was noise. And the prices kept going up. So we said, yeah, we're not going to pay these prices and listen to noise.
Right.
You know, the white
guy. Can I just say this?
Yes, you can say it.
It was up for original screenplay, straight out of Compton.
But that doesn't mean anything. They go for, excuse me. Don't start with me.
Don't start with him. Wait till you get home.
They'll go to the best picture, yes.
Yeah.
But anything less than that, why? They wouldn't go because it was something like
a costume
or something.
Take a look at that. This is all
I have it.
Oh, you have it there? Okay.
Yeah, that's how I came up with it.
Yeah, I think it's hard to relate again as a Caucasian, as a white person, to some of the themes.
Remember,
which African-American.
Now
if it was about the Holocaust.
The whites got a head start, remember, and the blacks are catching up, God bless them, and they're going to one day hopefully be equal. But right now they're way behind.
Now, you know who's going to be catching up is going to be greater, the Latinos.
There are more of them.
Yeah.
And they can become the mass audience. Even those who may not even speak Spanish, a second and third generation.
But the Latinos were upset that they weren't included in the Diversify. It was mostly black and white, and it wasn't. Yeah,
well, because basically all the voters are white men over 60.
Yeah.
I will tell you who has a valid complaint, and that's the white basketball players.
I didn't know there were any.
There are a few, but they can't get in. Now, that's a valid complaint. I think we should all...
How do you know they can't get in? Maybe they just don't... They're not good enough.
Oh, no. You have some good... No, no. The black ball players are far superior. Mm.
I
said that as a joke, no. Malcolm. You're going to get letters.
No, I find out that... The commentators, when it's a black player, he's athletic. When it's a white player, he's smart player. For some reason, they always say that.
I'm not aware of that.
Well, I just say, too, that I'm finding the black presence on television is much bigger than in the films. And I really think that television has come a long way from what it used to be.
Yeah, you
and
see,
movie actors wouldn't want to be on television.
You see a lot of black people in commercials where years ago, maybe even in 4 or 5 years ago, were all white.
That's
but,
right.
But they realize that there's a black market out there. No,
the black market, right?
Black market.
There's two black markets.
Well, I think they do deserve, I mean, everyone deserves an opportunity. And the opportunities aren't as vast as it is for the
I think what they have to do is change the membership of the Academy and who votes, because I think that has a big bearing
on who is
nominated.
They die.
Yeah. I also feel that they should have a product that can cross the borders of ethnic and
You're seeing that more and more now in the actors playing the parts that years ago were either white or maybe even Asian.
Well, it's the white writers who write it. What they vision is what they write.
Yeah, but the director has the final say, and he could say, okay, Jerry, you're okay. The part was written for you, but you know what? I think that black actor is better suited for the
A black rabbi. That's not bad.
When you can do that, that would be fine if it can go either way. But if they stipulate, I mean, you just can't do it.
Look, you have the actor now of Forrest Whitaker. He's playing a part.
That's right.
That was always played by a white guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they
But it works either way.
But I think they have a TV movie about Nina Simone where they're doing it. That's starring Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
Who's not black. She's Latina.
Yes, she is.
Right.
And more important, to get off this, we're hacking this to death.
Okay.
I have a great amount of wrath when it comes to the presentation itself. The shows stink.
The Oscars
are awful. With the Emmys, not the Emmys, the Tonys.
The Tonys are the best.
They're incredible. So why can't Hollywood do it?
You have a different media. I mean, you have live shows.
They show a favorite scene or skit from the play. They could do more of that at the Oscars by showing more clips
and making the clip a little bit
longer.
But people want to see
but it's
the
clips. They
live
want live. There's difference.
It's a live show.
Now, you know what the problem with the Oscars right now is that in the old days when you had the Bob Hopes or the Johnny Carson, when you saw the actor, you only saw him out of his role maybe one time during the year, maybe twice.
Okay, that could be a valid
I mean, critique. Now you see them every day on some talk show, on TMZ, on The Night Show.
But
they're no longer
unique.
It's also an excuse, and it's a valid excuse. However, it's just a slow-moving drudge, 2.5 or 3 hours. Mm. Excuse me. Okay, you have documentary short subject. You have makeup and hairstyling,
right,
music,
custom design,
production design, short film animated, short film live action, sound editing, visual effects. Who the heck out there knows what these things are? Why don't they have their own?
They do some the night before.
Yeah, but dedicated to these things that people don't know how many, not even 2%, a fraction of 1%. Outside of Hollywood, you don't know and you don't care. Do I have to sit and watch these people get up and talk and I thank you and thank God, etc.? I think it's superfluous.
Yeah, you're
and
right. Most people just want to know best picture. Best producer, best director.
But that always was.
Main actor, actress, and supporting roles. That's it. And maybe who wrote it. Mm-hmm.
That always was boring.
No, I don't remember these insignificant awards being given out.
I just remember the insignificant ones were there when they first started.
They had their own evening and they did it. And at the awards, they said, and so and so won this. And so that's the way it should be done.
I disagree.
The Academy Awards didn't have anything on sound. Think about it.
But it wasn't on TV. It's Academy Awards. There was no TV. In 1939.
Now they could add music
well,
to it.
Well, you know, what I'm seeing, they have sound editing and sound mixing. And I don't think they had the two categories.
Well, they didn't have them back in 1927 when it started.
Yeah, silent
you
movies.
Would know. I
yeah, I'm a lot older than you.
Today it's more streamlined. Come on, our society has gone forward in many ways. They seem to lag behind, and they shouldn't. And also the pictures weren't that great this year. It wasn't such a great year for motion pictures. And I don't know how you guys felt about it.
Were the pictures getting smaller? Like they say the airline seats are half now what they started
out. It's like plays. Plays run 90 minutes now. You go to a Broadway play, which I'm in favor of. I don't like sitting through for 2 hours.
You know, one of the things they used to do, and they're bringing back, they used to do best song. From a film. And I thought that helped give some kind of entertainment to the show.
Because they would play five songs.
No, they've just come back. They stopped doing it. Can I finish?
Yeah.
And now they only brought three songs back. But I've got to tell you, Lady Gaga, she's brilliant.
Well, she did also in the Grammys.
She's brilliant.
You saw her in the Grammys.
Yeah, but we're talking about the Academy Awards now.
Man. Yeah, right.
I don't know.
No, we're talking about Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
No, in the Oscars.
Her parents.
Yeah.
And that song, and then when the other song won, how?
Because no one saw her perform it. And, you know, it's not an easy song. Right.
And but there were three songs.
They only showed three.
That's
all there are. It should be five, right?
Yeah, there are five. There were five. They didn't feel the other two were worthy.
I fell asleep after the first
half. Why did they nominate them if they weren't worthy?
Yeah, exactly.
That is the problem. And once again, I'm all for condensing the show and getting out the superfluous things. And there are so many.
I have the best solution. The four of us should
produce it.
Run it and make all the decisions.
Here's my producer. Here, she's incredible.
I always wanted to get my hands on it.
Yeah, she
always
really good. Much better show.
A few weeks earlier, they had the BAFTA, the British.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was, for some reason, better. I don't know why.
Well, the British know how to do life.
Anyway, yes, they do. And you're British, honey.
Yes, I am.
That's why
the vocabulary.
Yeah. But I have to tell you something about the British. We've seen plays in London, New York, and also performed by UCLA and some of the other lesser organizations out here, even high schools of the same play. If you start off with high school, gets a little bit better when you go to college. If the college does it, it gets a lot better when you go to New York to see the same thing. And infinitely better, you could really notice the difference when you see it or hear it in London.
Mm-hmm. It depends on the depends on the play.
Well, I think for the most part, I love the British theater. And
say that again.
It's beautiful.
And I watch a lot of shows on television from England. There's one that's called Would I Lie to You? And I don't think it would ever fly as well as it does there.
My favorite show. It's a wonderful, funny, intelligent show. Yeah. Very funny.
But just being
it's because of the vocabulary, because of how the British put words together, and it's clever.
Well, they've been doing it a lot longer than us.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I don't even know how come my kids speak with a Yiddish accent. And she, how is that?
Because they take after your
side. And that's right. I'll tell you the truth.
I'll tell you the truth. Yeah, okay, Jackie. Well,
you mentioned that. Oh, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 years ago, there was a guy on TV when it was still black and white. He would speak with a combination Texas accent and a Yiddish accent. And he was funny. I mean, he was a riot. But he's not around anymore.
It reminds me that there's this comedian who's Korean. I mean, he comes out, obviously, he's Korean or Asian. And he speaks with this southern drawl. And everybody thinks he's putting it on. He said, "No, I was born in Georgia," and that's his accent.
I want to get to the pictures that did win and talk about it.
Oh, okay.
The best picture, as you all know, was Spotlight.
Right.
Out of what was shown, yes, I agree. It was the best. It had social issues, which were.
Have you seen it?
Well, out of what wasn't shown?
Have you seen it?
I've seen everything.
Oh, you've seen the movie. Okay.
I review films, remember.
Oh, do you do?
Yes, I do.
Well, you have to come to the show and review films.
What show?
This one.
Oh, I did that. Tried that. Yeah.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah. Well, this is closer to me now.
Why don't you tell everybody where your reviews are printed or seen or whatever?
They're printed locally. We put out a paper that goes in our house.
So you're the only ones that see it?
Beverly Hills Courier, which they can see throughout the world, I'm sure. And prior to that, ABC radio for a number of years. But the best picture, it was definitely Spotlight, although I mean, what was voted Spotlight, Brooklyn. Although I voted for Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Not because I'm from Brooklyn. Brooklyn wasn't the highlight of it. It's concentrated on these two wonderful people.
I would vote because they were in Coney Island. That's my hometown.
Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah, how do you pronounce that name?
I think Saoirse.
No.
How is it?
No, I've got it. Okay. I wrote it down because I figured.
Miss Ronan was brilliant.
Saoirse.
Saoirse.
Okay.
Sounds like you should be
Ronan.
Chinese.
Saoirse. Did you guys see it?
No. I haven't seen. The only movie I've seen was Creed.
Oh.
Yeah, because I understand. Yeah, you go a few rounds with your wife every night.
No, I can't last a few rounds with her. She'd take me out in the first 30 seconds.
She's probably good, and she's beautiful. The rest of them were okay. I didn't think much except Spotlight.
Oh, I did see
Revenant.
Revenant.
Yeah, what do you think about that one?
I thought he was sensational, Leo. I call him Leo.
Of course. Well,
of course, yeah.
He was wonderful and well-deserving, but the picture was... I didn't care for the film itself. The direction was brilliant.
Was beautiful. Well, when I saw the film... everyone had put it down mercilessly to me and said, oh, it's a man's film. There's so much gore. And I was so pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed it. I loved the cinematography or the photography, they say now. I love this guy as a director. I think he's a fabulous director. And
Alejandro.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
When the film first I didn't see it, but when it first came out, I read someplace that the scene with the bear,
yes,
that the bear rapes him.
No.
Well, somebody was imagining.
That's what Jerry was trying to tell me. No, it's not at all. No. You were trying to tell me that the...
I was trying to put it in your head, honey.
Oh, okay. Well, no, not at all. And do you know that bear was played by a man? That wasn't a real bear.
What did you think, a man? You think it would be a real bear? He would have been dead by now.
He might have been a trained bear. I don't know. But they had the man on, and he had, you know, the dots all over.
He was wonderful.
He was fabulous.
He should have won for the best trained animal.
Yeah, there you go.
So, in other words, it was...
him.
But they did it like with Avatar.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, which I thought was... They did a fabulous job on that.
Well, I saw it on the small screen, so I don't think I really appreciated it that much. You have to see it in this big screen and the ice.
Yeah,
and
very exciting picture. And for actress Brie Larson in Room...
Can I finish with film?
I thought you finished.
No, and let's talk about the movies. I just want to say a couple things.
Okay.
I tried reading The Martian. I was in New York for a few months. I said, let me read The Martian. I had such a horrible time trying to get through that because it was the H2O, the H2, and the AMC, and everything kept happening to this guy, and it was all so technical. I really couldn't get through it. I quit after half.
That happens with people. I remember the year that a movie came out, a Woody Allen movie with he was married to her. I forget the name of it.
Diane Keaton? No.
Mia Farrow.
No, not it that's, was Keaton.
That, yeah, he wasn't Diane married Keaton. To Keaton.
Then he was fooling around with her
or
whatever.
Yeah,
they were an item.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the movie, but I tried. It got all kinds of awards. Everybody said it's great. I tried to see it three times. I said, I don't like this movie. This is stupid. I walked out. Other people say it's great.
Well, you know what I want to say? I couldn't get through the book, so it took me twice to sit down with the movie. But I think they did a great job in the adaptation of that from the book, from what I was reading, to what they put on screen.
Actually, I did see that movie also.
And I liked it. Did you like it?
The, no, The Martian.
Martian, yeah. Oh.
I liked it.
Yeah.
And Mad Max. I'm sorry.
That I haven't seen.
Mad Max.
I tried watching that, but it is so ugly and so violent. There's nothing that makes me want to...
There's a big market for that stuff.
There really is. But what does that say about our society
That's where I think there's a generation gap.
Yeah.
Well, most people don't know diddly squat about anything out there.
No.
When I see these programs, let's say you're a reporter and you stop people on the street and you ask them some dumb question like, whatever, you know what I mean because you've seen it. And these kids come up with answers and I would say, wow, where have they been all their lives?
Yeah.
They don't know, or they come up with some stupid wild guess, which is like from another planet.
But most of your people, aren't knowledgeable, and they don't know the mass. You're talking about the mass now.
That's a pity.
Well, of course it's a pity. Our education system stinks in this country.
But we're at 36, and
we're way down.
It's Donald Trump.
Yeah. Did you see Room?
No.
Room, anyone? No.
Yes.
Room was okay. Her acting is wonderful. Certainly not as good as Saoirse Ronan.
Who plays in that movie?
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson.
And the kid.
Who is wonderful.
That was a good relationship.
He was wonderful.
Yeah, she was sitting right behind him.
She was very good in it. The one thing that bothered me was Jennifer Lawrence, who's the current Meryl Streep. Any film, let's put her up a bit.
She didn't deserve it.
She's wonderful.
And she's beautiful. So what more do you need?
I'm crazy about it. Anything she does, I will run to see. But this one was a big letdown.
And who I love is Cate Blanchett.
The English actresses as a whole.
But she's from Australia.
No, anything that opened is English. Forget it.
I don't think so.
I read someplace years ago that she was from Australia.
Or Kate Winslet.
Australia has turned out a lot of
their movie industry is booming, and it's excellent.
A great location.
Okay, I want to get to the supporting role, which was won by Mark Rylance, who was great in it. However, I voted for Mark Ruffalo.
It's a big difference between the two.
Oh, but Ruffalo, he was so involved with what they were trying to find out and the disgrace that it put on the Catholic Church and America, the priesthood in general. And you can see the emotion come out in the anger.
He's coming to his own.
He's a fine actor.
He's wonderful.
Have you seen him in a movie called The Cut?
The Cut?
The Cut. I'm trying to find some.
C-O-T?
No, The Cut.
C-U-T.
C-U-T. The Cut. I have no idea what the name represents. There's no relationship.
I can't remember the film.
He plays a cop in that movie.
I didn't see it.
But actually, I liked Stallone in Creed.
Stallone was wonderful.
Because I think he played the part as I envisioned Rocky would be in his later years. He didn't overplay the part. He underplayed it.
Had he won, no one would have been surprised.
And he would have been all for it. He won everything else.
He would have gotten a standing ovation.
I think he got the SAG, the Golden Globes.
Black people would have complained.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. All of the ethnic groups would have registered a complaint.
With Stallone?
Yeah,
winning?
If he won.
Can I just say Mark Rylance?
You said enough.
There's one guy that can act without even opening his mouth just by his facial expressions.
I love him as an actor. I don't know if you saw Wolf Hall, which was on television, and it was a PBS, BBC production.
I think that was a studio, a class in CCNY. There was Wolf Hall.
Well, Wolf Hall was one of the castles in England, and he plays Thomas Cromwell.
I saw that, yeah.
He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant in that, and I thought he was incredible. He underplays everything, which is so wonderful. So
speaking of English, which I fell in love with very recently, was Downton Abbey.
Oh, my.
And
oh,
I got into that about a month or two
it's
ago.
It's over now, you know.
Last season.
Yeah. This Sunday, I think, is the last.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
I did 5 years of it in probably like three weekends.
Oh, yes.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it was so brilliant. And the first two episodes, I said, nah, what are they doing? You know? But it like weaved the story, and it got you involved with the characters. And I'm telling him, I'm telling Stan, who's trying to write a screenplay, I said, they didn't do a scene, I think, more than like 20, 30 seconds. You know, they had the people related talking, then it switched to something else. Then it switched, and it just got you
weaved. And Maggie Smith, oh, my God. Anything she says, we go into gales of laughter, her whole attitude.
The lady in the van, Maggie Smith, I thought for sure she'd be nominated. She gives, if you haven't seen it, get it. She gives such an outstanding performance.
She's a brilliant actress.
She is.
She lives in a van.
I've heard of it.
And it is so wonderful. It's warm, and it's you're rooting for her throughout the entire picture. Is that this woman?
Is that because she didn't pay her rent?
It's a whole long story.
No, yeah, it's much longer. But
you
a writer
have to see
takes
it
her
from
in.
The beginning.
Yeah. A writer takes her in, and she overtakes.
And it's a true story.
It is a true story.
Did she win the Academy Award for the Prime of Miss Jean Brody?
I think she did.
Yeah, that was way back.
Now, did anyone see Son of Saul, the foreign film?
No, I've just seen Just Call Saul. TV.
Oh, they're wonderful. I love
it. Son of Saul, I didn't see it, and I can't see it.
Why?
The subject matter is it's too
and the subject matter
hurtful
is?
To look at. The subject matter is his job is to clean up the blood left over by the by those who were slaughtered by the Germans. And he had to clean up the blood, the remains of the bodies. So the next people who come in wouldn't know anything that had gone on. But once he does that, they're killed. So they can't tell the other people. I mean, I can't see anything dealing with the Holocaust because every time I come out, I am so angered, I kick a few dents in her Mercedes, you know. And
a German car? Oh, my God.
Can you, the Rebitson? The
Rebbe.
Driving a German
Israel
car.
Lives on Mercedes.
How do you explain that?
The biggest of it.
Well, maybe they get them as
it's called
part reparation.
Of the reparations. Yes. Very definitely. Right. Very definitely. But the guy himself, he's not an actor per se. And you know what he does? This guy.
He's a person
in New
shop.
York. In New York, there's a there are many mortuaries. This one's on 91st and Broadway, Amsterdam. One of those is on 91st. And when his name came, it's a Romanian name, I think, or Hungarian, came into the the Son of Saul. The woman, the receptionist, looked at it and said, "Oh my God. That is so funny." She calls downstairs to the room where they wash the bodies. In Judaism, you can't leave. You must watch the body and wash the body completely. So the guy who washes the bodies, that's his job. He had the same name as this actor. And she called her downstairs and said, "Do you know that you're?" She said, "No, I know it's me." That's the same guy. And what he does when he's not on camera, he washes the bodies.
So that's known as typecasting.
That guy,
that's his day job.
Right.
either he's a saint, this man, you know, for doing that's not an easy job.
Well, being a mortician is not an easy job. I can't imagine dealing with the people who have lost loved ones.
Washing a few different bodies. per day.
No, it's not the bodies. It's dealing with the people who are alive.
Well, I do a lot of funerals.
Yeah, that's
an awful lot. More than most rabbis, I'm sure.
Is business good?
Yeah, business isn't bad.
All right, so people are dying. Okay.
It's a double-edged sword. You don't want any Jews to die, but they want you to.
But if they go to the same place. Well, this, okay, so I've many times. Where do Jews go when they die? Is there heaven or hell?
You're asking me?
You're a rabbi.
Yeah.
Yes.
You should know.
Yeah, I should know.
You don't know.
Does anyone know?
The priest.
We believe there is, yes, something above us, but nobody knows. This is what we would like to be. We don't discuss hell. But heaven is mentioned because that's where God is. So obviously when you die, the souls go return to God.
I didn't know God was in a locale.
But if you can ask me, do it. And I'm asked many times, Rabbi, is my mother and my father going to heaven? And my answer is, what do you think? Yes, I think so. I said, good.
Good.
Then think about it.
Well, there's a friend of mine. Actually, it was just her birthday, Margie. And Margie, we were just very good friends for over the years. And any place that she went around the world, I would always get telephone calls from her. Collect, whatever. She lived in Australia. She lived in France. This is before I was married.
Oh.
Actually, Anna met her, and they were friends. And wherever she went, and she used to leave my address as her forwarding address. If someone wanted to reach her, they would. Send it to me. Again, always phone calls. And I also was the executor of her estate and had the power of attorney, what happens. So it turned out that she was on life support system. And they said she was brain dead. So I had to call the family up. We all went around her, the hospital bed, turned it off within like 2-3 seconds. She was out. She wasn't breathing anymore. Yeah. And you could tell the difference in the body. At least I thought I could. When the soul was in there and when the soul was out of there. But to this day, I know if there's a way of getting back, she would get back. Because she always called me. Now, this is about maybe 10 years later.
She probably called collect.
No, she would.
You didn't want to pick it up.
This is about 10 years later. I still get mail. For her address to me, to my
That's
address.
That's her way of connecting
That's
with
what
you.
I'm thinking. She is trying to get back to me. Because if there's a way, if there's something, she will contact me.
And Houdini told his wife that. And she went to every soothsayer and seer, and it never happened.
Well, Houdini did that because I think he was trying to, at least according to
She just said that.
No, she said his wife.
No, he told his wife, I will come back and see you.
Right, but he used to go to all these...
He himself.
For the spirit of his mother, and he always found them phony.
Right.
And now I think to this day, up in Laurel Canyon, where he used to live, on Halloween they have a seance.
On Laurel Canyon, they do.
Well, you know what I think?
No.
If you get to the other side, if there is another side, it's either so good that you don't want to come back here... Or it's just nothing.
Yeah, but if I get
I think the energy. I think your energy is certain.
Well, there's a theory about that. Every person has that energy. Mm-hmm. They can measure the electrical strength of it.
If I'm elected, I'm going to build a wall.
A wall?
Yeah, between there and here.
So you can't get back.
Anyway.
Two guys are walking down. Two old friends. They're old friends, Max and Irving. And they love baseball, and they're elderly, so Max turns to Irving and says, listen, which one of us dies first? You got to come back and let me know, or you know, about if there's baseball in heaven. What do we do without baseball? So as it happens, Max dies first. And then Irving is walking down the street one day, and he's tapped on his shoulder, and he turns around, Irving. You came back. He said, I came back. He said, you came back to tell me if there's baseball. Tell me, is that the good news? He said, the good news is there's baseball in heaven. And the bad news is you're pitching tomorrow.
Well, speaking about baseball, you know the old joke about Walter O'Malley? Walter O'Malley was the owner
it's
of the Brooklyn.
Not a Jewish joke.
Walter O'Malley was the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yes, he was.
And he's the one that took them out of Brooklyn, moved them to Los Angeles.
Yes, he did.
Now the joke is, if you have an old Brooklyn Dodger fan like I did, like I am, and you had three people in a room, Mussolini, Hitler, and Walter O'Malley, and you had a gun with two bullets in it, who would you shoot? And the joke goes, the first bullet, I shoot Walter O'Malley. Second bullet, I shoot Walter O'Malley again to make sure he's dead. Anyway.
That's funny.
Different movies.
If you use it, you have to give him credit.
Oh, I give him
credit. Yeah. Different movies.
I'm sorry?
Let's get back to the Academy Awards.
Okay. So the movies, okay. The actress in a supporting role, I don't know, directing we touched. I tell you, Christian Bale was wonderful in the supporting role.
Stop making noise.
In the Big Short.
The Big Short.
He was absolutely. He's good in everything.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's
a
fine actor.
But I remember that story they tell about Christian Bale when he was Batman.
He did Batman. Yeah.
And he was shooting in England, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And there was, I don't know, an intern or a PA who was standing on set right in his line of sight. And Christian Bale went crazy and cursed him out and kicked him out.
It was in the papers, People magazine and so forth.
And I used to love Christian Bale.
And you don't anymore?
If he has that attitude.
Well, you can tell he's a very intense person. Yeah.
Don't you still love me? I'm just like that.
I stay out of your line of sight.
Right.
That's why I disappear for months at a time.
Yeah, well,
you
said
you were
in his first movie.
New York. Now I know why.
Pardon?
Do you remember him in his first movie? I think it was his first movie.
What was it?
Something about the rising sun. He plays a kid. About 11 or 12 years old.
Oh, and he still breastfeeds.
No.
Was that him? That's Spielberg's film.
Yeah, right. The one about World War II.
He was the kid?
He was the kid, yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, if you catch the film late on TV, look for the credits, that's him.
Oh, is that the Empire?
Yeah, something like that. It was the
Empire of the Sun, was it?
Empire something.
Emperor of the Sun, wasn't it?
No, Emperor was about the emperor in China. Whatever.
It was Spielberg, and it'll pop up.
Supporting actor role was the most difficult because each one of them deserved it.
Yeah.
Each one of them. You have Christian Bale, Tom Hardy, and Revenant was absolutely outstanding. He was excellent.
He's doing so much work.
And deservedly. He is a big star. He's going to get even bigger. Mark Ruffalo, who was my favorite, and I thought he was wonderful, although by this much. Mark Rylance, who won, was also, and Stallone.
And that was a good film, Bridge of Spies.
Yeah, it was a good film. It was okay.
We
just saw two films, Demolition with Jake Gyllenhaal, which is coming out.
He's a fine actor.
He's wonderful.
Everything he does is good. He doesn't miss this kid. He's very, very good. We saw that, and...
And I think I liked the film better than you, correct?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quirky.
Somewhat
it's
better,
all...
but the other one you like better than I.
Oh,
Waltz,
Tango, Foxtrot.
Oh, that's the one with...
Tina Fey.
Tina Fey.
Yeah.
They're promoting that all over now.
Yeah, she's a very talented person.
She really is. She is. And, Waltz Tango Foxtrot stands for WTF.
The initials are WTF.
Mm-hmm. And they use that with the...
But by the way, he said he's not going to curse him because it's a rabbi and his wife.
I can't.
But we could use any language we want here, by the way.
Oh, okay.
That's what we're on the internet.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, you want to curse in Sanskrit? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm going to write it and show it to the screen.
I don't use foul language. So
but what do you consider foul language?
The only chicken.
Chicken
foul, speaks. Yes.
Did you think certain words used judiciously, not as an adjective, but judiciously when you feel like, it's really up in your craw that you want to get it out,
it's
and there's
judicious.
Only one or two words that could do Don't you think that's appropriate at that particular time?
Or you don't
think
so? I don't say it's not appropriate.
But you don't do it?
No, I don't.
I want to tell you two quick stories about cursing.
Okay.
I have
any
to tell
dirty
you these
word
stories.
My our daughters speak, they get from her, not from me. I do not curse in front of them. This one doesn't hold back.
But the question is, are they dirty words? Are words dirty? It's only how we use them.
Yeah, dirty
words.
That's
correct.
I'll give you two stories.
Yes, sir.
One, when I was living in New York, we would play tennis, the guys. And there was we would play doubles, two guys against two other guys. And one of them would never use an off-collar word. Never, nothing. And one day, I'll never forget, he missed a shot. And he just yelled out, "Shit!" Everybody in the place applauded because they never heard him speak like it. And one other quick story, one more. The movie Donnie Brasco.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At the very beginning, the head FBI guy says, he hears somebody cursing. He says, "Hey, I'm Mormon, so don't do that around me." Later on in the movie, somebody else is giving him a hard time. And the underlings say to the head FBI guy, "What do you want us to do with this guy?" And he says, "Fuck him." Now, I don't think many people caught that from the beginning to the end.
So he had to bring it out now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Did you see Marriage Italian Style? The old movie with Sophia Loren and Marcello Mastroianni. And there's one scene. She's been his mistress for many years. And actually, she has a daughter by him, but he doesn't know it. And there's one thing where she feigns dying. Everybody knows this. He's not married, but he doesn't want to get married. There's one scene where she feigns dying, and she's in the house, and everybody's around her, and he says, "Do you have any last wishes? And she says, "Yes, please, please make me an honest woman." They call the priest in. Priest marries them. Everybody leaves, expecting her to die. About 2 minutes later, she says, jumps out of it and says, "IDO, it's a miracle, I'm cured." She goes over to the refrigerator, and I think it was like a leg of lamb or something. She takes it out and starts chewing it, and all of a sudden he realizes that he was
taken.
And of course, a Catholic, so he can't get divorced. And he is spewing the words coming out. The subtitles are going like crazy. You know, barely had time to read them. And he stops a minute and he says, "Okay, what do you say? And she looks at him, and there was like a 5 second delay, and she goes, "Bafangu." No subtitles. The audience was in the aisle.
I'll tell you what bothers me, and I would eventually I'll get around to speaking about it on a larger platform. The kids who are cursing in the movies, why do they write these terrible, terrible dirty words?
Because in reality, they do.
Yeah, but
they have old women and men and young kids.
We're showing them that it's okay to do
well,
it.
How old are the kids, first of all?
They're young, about five, six years old.
I first encountered this when we saw Grease back in New York, you know, when it first came out. And they used those kinds of words there. And we took our kids with us, figuring it would be a nice musical about high school. I was shocked to hear those words, and that our kids were not fazed by it, you know.
Well,
they heard it in school already.
Yeah, that's one thing. But to give permission, the way you show it on screen, it's saying, "Okay, kids, you're validated. You can say those words.
I get more shocked and disturbed when I'm – and this is going back when my kids were young. Now they're 21 and 19, two boys.
But when we were
watching the baseball game or a soccer game, and all of a sudden, when the mood hits – you know, if you have an erection for over 4 hours, for Viagra or Cialis, and the audience were kids, you know, who didn't, you know, "Daddy, what's an erection?" Anyway, guys, could you stay around for another show? Or do you have the time?
That's up to my wife.
Do you have the time? Because we're out of this hour, and we're going to go
find out if someone is watching the dogs.
You want to call up?
Yeah,
we'll call.
When we break from this.
Okay.
Okay.
How are we doing time-wise?
We're going to stop at 50.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah. Because actually we have no specific time because it's Malcolm Digital Radio, so it's not an hour. You could do 50 minutes. You could do an hour and 20 minutes. Oh. But we're going to do
is
a second hour
after
this. Is
this going to be edited or just
no,
a,
this
no,
is, as it is?
No, we'd have to pay money to have it edited.
No, I like.
We have an editor. Jeff's working on a project now, and we have an editor.
If he doesn't charge anything,
our daughter's writing it.
No, I like things. I mean, even though we're a podcast, I like things run in real time. It's real time.
Okay, you got a few.
So I have to tell you something else, too. And Malcolm notices it also. Well, he notices everything. We've had a number of different guests where they don't or don't want to come in or can't come in, so we call them up on the phone. Okay, sometimes it's a cell phone that they give us, and that's you never know when they'll conk out. But even if you don't have that problem, it's infinitely better when the person comes into the studio.
There's no energy.
You have a different kind of rapport, totally different.
Well, believe me, the last show that we did that you came on and you couldn't make it in the morning because we were doing it live. And from having you in the studio to having you on the phone.
Oh,
two different worlds. But anyway, guys, we have
to
take a break.
It's like you doing a sermon to your people on the phone as opposed to them coming.
No, it's
in.
They fall asleep regardless on the phone.
Anyway, Jeff, Jerry, thank you very much for coming in today.
What a pleasure.
We might see you in the next hour, but we won't know until you make the phone call to see whether the dog.
Jerry and Jeff, check in with your doggy and whichever way it goes, we'll support you.
Fabulous.
Anyway, guys, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
Yeah. Okay, Aaron, it's a wrap.